place. Now, this is July the 15th, 1962, and we're starting on a trip to Dawson City. And I have in the car here with me is Andrew Wickham and Jens Walzine and myself. And we left Fairbanks at 2:20 in the morning, and we're down by the deck. We're about 18 miles out of town right now, and the sky is starting to get light, and the river's full of water here. Jens, what do you got to see on here?
Well, I don't know. It's a very fine morning, and looks like we're going to have a beautiful day, and it'll be very nice. I will surely enjoy this trip. This will be my first trip to the Dawson City.
Now, Andrew?
This is my third trip to Dawson City, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we'll stop the machine now for a minute until we move. Well, we just spotted a moose here at the dike, and we're moving down the highway now towards 26 Mile or Wilson Field. There's a big bomber coming in. The time is now 2:50. This is Jens Walzine here. He said he passed over this road. You tell us, Jens.
What is that?
Tell me about this road that you told me you went over years ago.
I went over this and 1910, when there was no road at all, hardly a trail. Looked like a rabbit trail. And we had no bridges, only about three or four bridges in 365 miles. We had to wade through streams, rivers, but we managed to get through in okay.
You don't remember any of these roadhouses, Jan? Out here.
Well, they had, remember the roadhouse they had at Richardson. That's the only roadhouse I remember. 75 miles about out of Fairbanks, what we call the old Richardson place.
Well, how long was you in the country before you made the first trip outside?
I was in the country here 41 years before I made my first trip back to the States.
This is your first trip to Dawson now.
This is my first trip to Dawson.
Well, we're now passing the Aus Reservation where the air base is. We'll stop this tape, make it a little later. Well, the time is now 3:20, and we're passing Aurora Lodge and the Big Salt River Bridge.
This is the best salmon that ever in the area here. A lot of salmon going up here.
Low water, did you notice it?
No.
Very low water. There ought to be some good fishing here.
Jeff Davis can go. Mm-hmm.
Very low water. See all the snags along that side? It's getting a little more daylight. It's slightly overcast right now. As we get towards the mountains. We just had a little red fox cross the road back here a little ways. I want to mention all the game on this story so we can get an idea how much game we see on this trip. It's 436 miles each way to Dawson City. We're now at Birch Lake, and we just on the I guess it'd be the south end of the lake, wouldn't it, here?
Yes, okay.
And we've seen another nice big cow moose alongside the road feeding here at this point. And the time is now 3:44. And now we're going to start up the hill away from the lake, from Birch Lake. It's still cloudy and overcast. We're now at Tenderfoot Creek on the Richardson Highway, about 74 miles from Fairbanks, and we've just seen two more moose right alongside of the road feeding here on this little pond where there used to be an old mine worked here.
This last man that worked this mine was come in from Arizona, miner, and he sunk all his money in this hole, and he got sick and went to the hospital. He died in the Fairbanks Hospital. I used to come down and see him. I can't even remember his name. The time now is 4:10 in the morning, and we're at mile 290 from Valdez on the Richland Highway. Well, it's now 4:15 and we're crossing Shark Creek here on the Richland Highway, and there's a beautiful sunset, sunrise coming out. It's just like solid gold. Just like solid gold. It is now 5 o'clock, and we are, we've left Big Delta, and we're at mile 1407 from Dawson Creek, Canada, on the Alcan Highway, heading for Tok Junction. The time is now 5:20, we've been exactly 3 hours, and we've just crossed the Big Bursa River between Tok and Big Delta. And it's still Friday, and we've had a little rain a while ago. Well, we've just passed Dot Lake, and it's straight up 6 o'clock in the morning. We've seen our first sunshine today. And we're pointing our nose right for Tok Junction next. We're passing milepost 1359 on the Alcan Highway. The time is now 6:15, and we've just crossed Robertson River. Sun shining beautiful, and we're at mile 458 of the Haines Pipeline at this point. That's a Haines Pipeline sign right there. And this is mile 1347 on the Alcan Highway. Now we've stopped here and had a little bite to eat and passed Dot Lake. And there's a few little gnats in the air here, and it's kind of cloudy again. So we got a little fuel in our shelves, so we'll start moving again. How about it, John?
Well, that'll be fine. Everything is going smoothly.
Andy?
Okay.
You're still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, Andy feels satisfied now.
Mathematician.
Now we just stopped here at Post Service Station, and Mr. Dale Young of Fairbanks took this station over about four days ago, and it's exactly 208 miles from Fairbanks, and we use 13 7/10 gallons of gasoline up to this point and 1 quart of oil. Now we're pulling out to start down the Alcan to 40 mile to the turnoff to the Dawson Highway. Now we've just turned off of the Alcan Highway onto the Dawson Road, and it's 170 miles posted on the sign from the Alcan Highway to Dawson City. And the time now is 7:45 exactly.
We never got the dip.
We stopped here between mile 23 and 24 and took 2 pictures of this beautiful scenery. One picture back towards the Alcan Highway of the road behind us. And it's broken clouds again. There's bright sunshine at this point. And the time is now 8:25. Well, the time is 9:26, and we are about pretty close to 58 miles from the Alcan Highway, the 40-mile roadhouse.
We'll soon be to.
We'll be to what's the next place?
Chicken.
We just stopped here, and there's some good raspberries and some other kind of red berries. And we found 4 caribou hooves here. It looked like somebody had dressed out a caribou here. Yeah, it ain't too old. And we're on our way again. The time now is 9:50, and we're at Chicken, and I've taken four or five pictures of the dredge and of the camp here, and we're moving on up the road. The road's a little moist. It has been raining sometime earlier, but we got a clear sky overhead right now. Well, the time is 10:08. We just passed Bob McComb's place and crossed the little steel bridge. We're heading up the hill again on our way down to George King's, I can think, next. Now, we've stopped here, what is this, about 67? A little lake up here, and we see a real good-sized cow moose, and probably a yearling bull was starting to get horns.
Yep.
Down here in the lake below the road.
That's a yearling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I took a couple of pictures of this spot here showing this little circle lake or whatever it may be. It's beautiful in this spot. Sun shining bright. Flies are everywhere.
That's just for some...
I stopped and took another snapshot of a small steam shovel or a gas shovel at the old Franklin, Smith, and Stampy camp. Well, the time is now 12 minutes after 11. And we're stopping to fix a bite to eat. We're about a mile or two down the road from George King's place now. And we're about 60-some miles from Dawson. The time is 11 minutes to noon, and I stopped here at a place known as George King's Roadhouse. Now, George is going to say something about it.
About the roadhouse?
Yeah, and about you, yourself.
Oh. Well, I don't know what to say, except that I came here in North 1910, mm-hmm. and I'll be 70 years old next year.
What is your birthday, George?
June 8th.
June the 8th?
1893.
1893
is
born.
That's right.
And you're trying to sell out and move out of here?
No, I was having to move over to Eagle.
Move over to Eagle, get close to the transportation. How you been? This is Mrs. King. If you talk real loud, it'll record.
We'll let him talk.
And also the old man do the talking.
I brought Jan Swelzine and Andrew Wickham with me to Dawson. So you will be there about Sunday or Monday.
Uh-huh.
Frank Young will be along in a little while. He's behind us with two or three other cars, yeah.
He was going to return from the States this way, but...
Well, he didn't do it. He went on in. He got cold feet when it looked like rain.
Mm-hmm.
If he hears that thunder shower, he's liable to turn back. We just kept ahead of it.
Yeah, well,
did sprinkle a little. Well, we're going to keep rolling this time, but when you get in town, sometime fooling around the hotel for an hour, I'll sit down with you. And
yeah.
Because there's quite a few of them give me some ideas of things to ask you about.
If you give me a little preparation beforehand, you know, something a little brief. So I can
I know what I want to ask you. See,
you ask the questions, I'll give you the answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, George, I'm going to see what your voice sounds like on here now. Tell me when you was born and where you come in, your full name.
The full name?
Mm-hmm.
Albert Blair Miller. Seattle, Washington, 1924.
That's when you was born?
Uh-huh. I came to Alaska in 1938.
How did you come in, by sword?
No, I came through Skagway and over the White Pass.
Oh, you took the trip over the railroad?
And down the river.
That was good.
An old paddle wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. And on a cat from there, from Dawson into here.
Have you been getting lots of visitors the last few days,
yes.
Keeping you busy?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Keeps me busy making pies.
Well, we're just fooling along and taking a few pictures. I have a telephoto lens on it. I can stay down here a couple of blocks and take a picture. I took two or three shots when I come up here.
We had a bear looking in the window here the other day. It had one paw on this propane tank.
We've seen about six or seven moose and a couple of fox and one black wolf and some other small game, some birds, and all along the road. We've been seeing...
I had to shoot this grizzly bear with a .22 Hornet.
You get him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you hit him in the right place.
Oh, dead shot.
Mm-hmm.
Dead shot.
How would you like it when a bear is standing up here with one paw on this propane tank and you can't shoot him because you might hit the propane tank?
I know, and then there's danger.
Yeah, and I tapped on the window.
What's your nearest neighbor?
Oh, about 5 miles from here is Jack and Betsy Wilkie.
George? George?
Is George Gilbertson and who else is around here mining?
George Gilbertson and some people named Killian.
Killians, I heard of them.
Yeah, they're from Anchorage.
I stopped down there a few minutes at Purdy's and see them because I thought George was there, you know.
Oh, uh-huh.
I was checking up to see how close to the road he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he moved down here last fall.
Is he having any luck?
Well, I don't know. I don't think he's sluicing yet.
And there's some guy sniping down there at the old Stampy camp, you know.
Oh, well, that's George Robinson.
Well, did he do? Get a later going in work or something?
Yeah.
Well, I see he's hitting all the little places that they didn't hit before.
Yeah, well, he worked for him for years.
Well, then he knows every place where there might be something.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. He's been in the country for years, you know.
Well, I've had a busy week last week. I went to Big Delta and worked on an alarm, went fishing over in the lake, and got a mess of fish. And the next day I went to Clear and worked on that alarm down there, and the one at Nenana. And then we come back, and the next day after that I took a riverboat trip with one of the Mr. Zink of the U.S. Native Service and Welfare. Took him down the river to see some of the natives in the village, Old China Cemetery, not the town of Chin that you're thinking about, the old village where on the other side of the river. And then, of course, Binkley come in with his boat while I was there, and all those kids was around me listening to this thing work, and they was all running over taking pictures.
That Zink you were talking about, he isn't from Juneau, is he?
Well, yeah, he has the whole of northern Alaska to take care of.
What's his first name?
Well, I didn't ask him even. I know he's up in the Chena building in the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Welfare Office.
Young fella?
Yeah, he's about 35,
38. Big guy?
Husky. He's heavier than you are.
I know him. I went to school with him.
You did?
Yeah, Earl Zink, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll find he's got an office upstairs. He works 3 days on the field and 3 days in the office, average. He took some pictures. He enjoyed his trip.
I'd like to see him again. I haven't seen him for years.
It's just too bad. I have so many of these tapes, I can't play all of them for everybody. I've got 3 years of tapes now. I've got suitcases full of them. And I'm going to have to start putting them in a safe place. It's too much work.
Yes, I know. I know what you mean.
Well, I'm going to stop this here, and we're going to take off in a few minutes. Okay. We're now... It's 12:14, and we're at the immigration station at the border into Canada. We'll be leaving in a few minutes, and I'm going to take a passenger here for the immigration officer. What is your name, sir?
Millen, Les Millen.
Les Millen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got to meet quite a lot of you last trip. I hope I can do it this trip.
Fine, I hope you do. Yeah.
Well, Canada really got on the ball and did things.
It's 1:20 right now in the afternoon, and we're stopped at a spring here on the road into Dawson. We're about 30 miles out of town, or 28 miles, whatever it is here, and everybody's getting a drink of water. The sun is getting in the west now, slight breeze, and a beautiful day, and it's spotty clouds. We've been traveling along fair speed, the road's being worked on here. We'll move on to the next place in a few minutes. Terry, I want you to put your father's full name on here for me.
Leslie John Millen. And he's, what is he? What is
he's a customs officer at the boundary.
And he's a very nice person, isn't he?
Yeah.
And your name is?
And my real name is Leslie Junior, but my nickname's Terry.
And what's your sister's name?
My older sister, who's 16, name is Louise. And my middle sister's Madeline. And my brother's George.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Terry's riding in the car from the immigration station to Dawson with us on this trip.
What do you say?
This is a 24-mile cabin.
This is 24-mile cabin. It's 24 miles from Dawson City, and it was a shelter or roadhouse where they were building this road from the Dawson.
Over to the Alaskan
side, the American side.
Mm-hmm. This cabin has been here many years.
Yes, it's been here very many, many years, ever since the days of 98.
And the time now, Terry, is 1:37.
1:37 Canadian time. It's 2:37, I guess.
Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
That beautiful noise you hear is the fireboat on the Yukon River at Dawson City. What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's pretty noisy.
Now, that pass that we come over, the highest pass on the Dawson to 40-mile highway is 4,515 feet elevation. We're really up in the air. And a little further along the way, we stopped and got a view of the Yukon River and took one exposure. The time is now 3:10 our time, and we're in Dawson City sitting on the street. Got anything to say? And he looks like he's beat up, and Jance is a little worn out, but he ain't saying much. Well, our passenger left us, and I think they're a little blue about it. The kid was good company.
I didn't know that happened.
Well, this is Thursday morning, and we're up around, I was up at 6 o'clock this morning fooling around. We went down to a little restaurant and had breakfast here in Dawson, and Andy, what was this gentleman you met? What was his full name and everything?
His name was Christensen, a professional trapper. He now has two mining claims on the Victoria Creek, a tributary of Bonanza. And he is sitting pretty up there, takes out a little gold whenever he needs it or when he feels like working.
Mm-hmm. Who else did we see?
Black Mike. He's an old timer here and a character around town, and he is in fine shape. He is 90 years old, and he's good for another 10 years.
Well, Mike looked like a pretty busy man. He said he's carrying the payroll for a bunch of helpers around here. Now, gents, who is the gentleman you talk to now?
Well, there was a fellow from Billingham, Washington, or Canadian. He lives on the Canadian side. That's his first trip in Dawson. He drove over the highway. And I told him this is my first trip to Dawson after living in Fairbanks for the last 53 years. And he looked at it the same way as I did and wanted to see them. The old diggings and the old buildings and how they get along here in Dawson. The only trouble up here, they don't open up air until about noon. Everybody sleeps in the morning and stay up all night.
Well, that's the Alaska spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's a little bit overcast and cloudy and a few drops of rain, but I think we're going to do a little, what do they call it, adventure?
Yeah.
Or pioneering. We're going out and look the country over. The time now is 5 minutes after 10.
Time on it and everything?
The time now is 11:25, and we're on the road out to the early day mines. You want to take that road?
Yeah.
Okay. We got Katie McLennan, our friend in Dawson, with us in the car. And Katie, you tell me where to go now. I'll back up.
Well, you're gone a little too far already. Turn back. Now, turn to your right.
We're going to Bonanza?
Turn right, and we're going out to the Bonanza Bell mine. It's called the Bonanza Bell.
This is the Henry Lehman mine.
Well, we're going to the Bonanza Bell, and we're going to paint some gold at the Bonanza Bell. And from there, we'll be going out to Harry Lehman.
And in the car,
that is if Harry Lehman is up or if he's home. He was in town last night and he had a pretty good time downtown. So I doubted whether he's home. However, we'll let you know from there where we're going.
In the car with us we have Jance Walzine and Andrew Wicken and Harry Hughes, myself. And a little later, we'll put some more on this tape.
Down, will you?
Okay. Now we stopped at the Bonanza B mine, where they have a little gold mining and panning for tourists. And there's a small mining museum located here, and Miss Katie McLennan is going up and make arrangements for us to visit the mine. And I'll stop on this part. Well, Kate has taken us out here to pan, and you should see Andy Wicken here. He's really working on that pan. He isn't going to lose anything.
Yes,
but Harry, don't brag about it. What you had in the pan, the wind blew away from you. It was so very fine and so little, you know. A wind come along and blew it out of your pan, so well, don't you brag about it.
Well, we had fun anyhow, and we can't eat this stuff, so we'll just go along with it. Now, we're up here on this old workings of the Bonanza Mine, and they've got a couple...
Bonanza B,
and they've got a couple of sluice boxes set up here, and there's a big old giant sitting over here. From the early days, a little mine car.
There's a
blacksmith shop and boiler, and a couple of steam engines and pumps, a hoist, and the old tramway with a bucket.
What do you call this from?
And they got a deep well shaft over here with the windows in.
Read it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
now this is going on, Kitty. We're about 12 miles out from Dawson City at one of the largest dredges in the North American continent sitting here. It probably cost several million dollars to bring in here. It's sunk and semi-abandoned here, which is a shame. This should have been set up on foundation preserved. There's an enormous amount of history about this dredge in this area here. And I have Katie McLennan, a pioneer Dawsonite, with me in the car. She's showing us around the country here. Katie, what can you tell me about this dredge?
Well, really, I can't tell you very much about this dredge. No more than you said about it. It's almost over the road here, you know. We seem to be driving underneath it. We are now going where?
We're going out to Franklin's.
To Franklin's. Mm-hmm.
Glenn Franklin's property.
Glenn Franklin's property.
Yeah, I believe he's working a lot out there.
I'm sure that we're going to get a very nice welcome when we get out there. It looks like a shower coming up, a shower of rain, but maybe it's going to blow over. Let's go on then. Come on, boys, get into that car now and let's travel on again. We have just coming from the Bonanza B mine. We passed up Harry Lehman. He's got too many people around there, too much company. So we passed him up. We'll call on him when we get back.
Okay, Katie.
Oh, Teddy watch. He's over there, I think.
Popovich cabin that I just took the picture of, Katie. You tell me what you told me about in mining here.
Well, we arrived to put the road through, the new road through his ground here, you know. We're traveling right on his claims. I don't know whether there is any gold left under it, you know.
Did he pass away?
Mike Popovich passed away about 5 years ago. He was some 86 years old.
Did he make a pretty good living while he was on the claim?
Oh, no, just... these old fellows, you know, they were satisfied with their bag of flour and rolled oats and a slab of bacon, as long as they had enough left over to buy a bottle to go home with. And they went back to their claim and washed out a little more gold for the next sack of flour. Well, we arrived at his cabin. It's falling down too. The poor man. He's an awfully fine, likable fella. And we arrived on Teddy Watch's ground here too. Teddy Watch is still alive.
Oh yes, I saw Teddy.
We talked to, we listened to a couple of fellas one day. Oregon over there. Did you knew so-and-so? Yes, I knew him. Didn't he go out with a lot of money? Yes, I know. He went out with a lot of money. And did you know so-and-so? Yes, I knew him, the other fellow says. Remember the money that he made? Yes, I know. He made money. And the same, Mike, did you remember so-and-so? Yes, I remember so-and-so, he answers. But he had all dead, he says, and I'm still alive. So the poor Mike, he was satisfied he was still alive, though he never made any money. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way they talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Katie. Just a few hundred yards back here on this trail, we passed the Discovery Monument placed there by the Canadian government in memory of the discovery of gold on this Klondike River. Bonanza River.
Carmack's and...
And Carmack...
And Henderson, Bob Henderson, we just passed the monument that was put up a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll move on down, or upstream we're going.
He can get in because he crawls like a dog. Well, anyway, he lives out there. He was in there again this winter for a little while and drove everybody crazy in town too, everybody.
What's his name?
George Clark.
Oh, George Clark.
Yeah, and they had to take him back again, so he lives up there again. And he's got to go here down over a cot. He has a coal oil can hanging on his shoulder. And he puts about half a gallon of water in it, in this coal oil can. And then he pulls it off this cot, you know, on hands and knees to crawl to his cabin again, you know. But he's still over there and he lives. He's some 86. 87 years old, and he had his son visiting him this summer. Of course, the son wanted to take him outside, but he will not go. He won't go. He won't stay at the old man's home. He won't stay in town in the hotel. Terribly independent. He has nothing but just canned food, you know.
Yeah.
He can't cook for himself, you know.
No.
Just opens cans. And
I'd like very much if we could find the time and the ways to visit them. Mm-hmm. So maybe we find time tomorrow, maybe, to visit them.
See, yeah, somebody knows the trail better than we do.
Oh, yes, I know the trail.
You do?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, now, Katie, just a moment. We stopped here at, what is this cabin here that I just took the picture of, right here? You remember whose it is?
Madame Trombley.
Trombley?
Madame Trombley.
Mm-hmm.
And she married in her late years Lacroix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you looked at now. That was her home out here.
Mm-hmm.
While they were mining out here, I don't know, I think they were only out here for some 10 years. When Madame Trombley went outside with her husband. But another old gentleman that you took the picture of his cabin across there, he's now too in the old man's home.
I took one back that way, too. There was another.
I don't think there is anybody living in them.
There's a
cabin.
Dog and there's a family here.
Oh, there is a family
here.
Yeah,
I just saw the dog and
yes,
somebody.
Yes, well, he's working. I don't know whether he's working for... I don't think he's working for Franklin. He's just a workman. He's working for some...
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going up this road a little ways and see what we find here, huh?
Yes, let's go.
You put his name on here. So
well,
now
I'm just commencing to find out the name of the old fella on the forks. We took a picture of his cabin. Now, right now, we met another miner going home with a pack on his shoulder. Stopped to ask him what the old fellow's name was, and that was John Trapperson's cabin that I've been trying to think of the name. John Trapperson is down at the old man's home. And
what is your name?
We're talking.
How do you spell the last?
P-M-U-C-H-I-N-A.
Pete Pumpovich. Yes.
He's the best looking.
He's the best looking fella on the creek. He's a little overweight. He weighs about 300 pounds. And he's got another 100 pounds on his back here, carrying home. So, Pete, you're well loaded.
No. Just 10 pounds on my back, that's all.
Just 10 pounds.
He says just 10 pounds.
10 pounds. Mm-hmm. 250 pounds weight, that's all.
Mm-hmm. You weigh 200 pounds, huh?
250.
250 pounds you weigh?
Yeah.
Well, you better lay off of that bacon and eggs.
No, I eat too much, you know. Just
you don't eat
3-4 eggs, you know, and 1/2 pound bacon, see, for noontime, but all those kinds of different stuff, you know.
How many bottles of beer you drink, Pete?
We don't drink too much, you know.
Not too much.
I drink lots of good wine, you make it before.
You make your own home brew? What kind, Pete? What kind?
Raising, you know.
Raisin wine.
Raisin.
Oh,
that's not called, you know. I started selling government brooks. Everybody be buying from me, you see.
Oh, Pete. How do you make it, Pete?
You must
give us your recipe someday, huh?
Just put in the water, see, and stay for 10 days. Squeeze them out, see, and screen them. And you ferment them for a month, see. I put in a bottle like that, bottle up, see, change few time. There you go. And settle it down, see, for 2 months good for drink, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, best of wine, huh?
Best of vermouth, see.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, that's so fattening, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make it every year four or five batches, you know, maybe 150 bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And you send out for the raisins, or you buy, kind of raisins do you use?
Sultana or Thompson, best raisins.
Oh, the Sultana, huh?
You go up with the police, you know.
Yeah, I bet. No, Pete, I wouldn't tell him.
Yet. Oh, no, she's teasing you.
I like wine myself, you know.
Yeah, good.
So I wouldn't tell him, you. Have you ever made dandelion wine?
I don't believe any wine, only grapes, raisin wine, see.
Oh.
Other wine I don't believe, you see.
Pete, what nationality are you?
Serbian.
Serbian, no.
Tough people.
Wine there.
Tough people.
Oh, yes, tough people, and they make good wine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
The nice, handsome men, see, nice gold digger.
Wasn't Joe Canatus from Syria? Syria.
Which one?
Joe Canatus.
Joe
from Joe.
Yeah, that's yeah. Syrian.
Yeah, I talked to him a lot of times.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Syrian, see.
Tough and how far from here do you live?
Me?
Yeah.
I just about, American gorge, just about 1,000 feet below the ridge, from the right side, and I go there, you see. Mm-hmm.
Have you got a garden down there?
No, there. I got a garden down here, see.
And who has that cabin down there with the lovely garden? Across from the ridge there, you know.
Well, that,
on this side.
Maybe on the left side you got?
Yeah.
Maybe that's Welsh, that one, that's all the old time there. Welsh, you know. That's
Welsh?
Welsh, yeah. Tommy Welsh. Yeah.
Tommy Welsh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an old timer.
Mm-hmm.
And where does Emil Cornish live?
Emil Cornish live just above the ridge, not the cabin, a hill there, not next to the coach.
Oh, gee, I'm not going to walk way back there.
Yeah, good.
To Emil Cornish. He's got wine up there too, but I don't want it that bad.
I don't know.
No.
Now we're back down here to Aaring Dawson again, and I'm going to ask Miss Katie to tell me where that bridge that went over to what was known as Lousetown in the early days, and tell me about the bridge.
Well, we're at the mouth of the Klondike here, between the power plant and the residence. This bridge that went across the Klondike over to Lousetown, over to the island, was washed out in 1912. The ice washed it away, and for a time the residents over there in Lousetown, they went back and forth by boat and by cable car.
There's nobody living over there today.
There's nobody living over there. Everything was demolished. The brewery went to Fairbanks. The sawmill moved to town. The hotel closed up, and also the red light district was over there. They left their homes too and went outside, scattered elsewhere. There is nothing on Lousetown there. There's a small mine up on a hill here. But there's only a few Indians living over here. There now, there's no way of crossing, there's no way of transportation. They gotta go around too far to get home. There's only a couple of Indians that row back and forth on a little canoe.
Thanks, Kitty. We just run into Frank Young and Dolly. They landed here, it must have been pretty close to noontime when they got here. They said this morning, but I checked the ferry and they weren't here yet. So they're going to kind of come down to the hotel. We're staying at the Log Cabin Motel, visit with us after a bit.